So this vast vision that is given is in one comprehensive view, the totality, knowledge and integral knowledge, both combined together, is made manifest before us. So it's a culmination of the process of knowledge. And there is a very important element in the presentation of it, saying that this vastness cannot be seen by sight as you have now. You require a sight behind the sight. When Sri Krishna says, with your sight you cannot see, you require a different sight, and therefore the divine sight is given. So it emphasizes the fact that if you expect that you will get knowledge and integral knowledge merely by remaining what we are, that is an illusion. It can never happen. You must cultivate a new kind of vision, a new kind of power of light, by means of which you can have it. This is as far as the integrality of knowledge is concerned. But there is a further element in this integrality, that even this process of mere divine sight is not enough. You require ananya bhakti to get this knowledge. Unless your knowledge is joined with devotion, you won't get this vision. That's why Sri Krishna says, by Veda you will not get, by tapas you will not get, by dana you will not get it. Even by bhakti you will not get it. It is by ananya bhakti. There is another kind of bhakti. So that ananya bhakti is a special element of chapter number 11. And even this ananya bhakti is expounded at four stages in the 11th chapter. First is when the Supreme Divine manifests, Arjuna bows down in the front, behind, in all aspects. That is a supreme surrender that comes about when the Supreme Divine is visualized and seen. That also shows that when there is supreme knowledge, the supreme bhakti arises. There's a connection between bhakti and knowledge, an integration between the two. Bhakti can, in any case, start even on its own. But this bhakti can be a bhakti of the divine seen as an avatar. This is what Arjuna, once he sees the Supreme Divine, then he realizes that this Supreme Divine is in this one, Manushim Ashritaha. It is in this human being that his vastness was present all the time, I did not see him. This is the bhakti for the avatar. He sees the avatar and that bhakti manifests. Then he realizes that he was calling him Sakha, and even a casual address to him while in the couch or while eating or ahara, vihara, all kinds of movements. So he realizes it, but also at the same time he does not discard it. That is also a form of bhakti in which he says, you pardon me as a father pardons his son, as a friend pardons his friend, as a lover pardons his beloved. This is another kind of bhakti, to regard the divine as a father, as a friend, as a husband, as a child, in many forms of relationships. There is also bhakti. And then he says, now you change this form and show me your form, our forearm form, Narayana form. He is closer to us than that Virat Swarup, which seemed to be tempestuous and frightful and horrible and terrible in many ways, although behind it there was a great benign face, which also was appreciated and understood. But for a human being, this Narayan form is much better, the one who smiles and one who is very close. So there is an integration of these four levels of bhakti in the 11th chapter. The bhakti of the Supreme Lord manifests in the vastest form, unending form, millions of faces and millions of arms, and the bhakti that arises, the bhakti that is to the Lord who is in this human body, the bhakti to the Lord who can be related to us in many forms, and bhakti in the form in which He is very close to us, is a statement of all forms of bhakti and all related, integrated bhakti. Therefore, you can now approach the Divine in all the forms. But even that is not enough. You arrive at ananya bhakti. This ananya bhakti is a special concept which is now to be developed in the 12th chapter. There is also the culmination of action in the 11th chapter. Culmination of knowledge, culmination of bhakti, and culmination of action. There is a link from chapter number 1 to 6 as far as action is concerned. The theme of action is subdued in chapters number 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11, up to 10, subdued, because it was already expounded earlier, so a greater emphasis is laid in these chapters on bhakti and jnana, the synthesis of the two. But now in the 11th chapter, action is brought forward, because Sri Krishna reveals the secret of action, the higher secret of action, that all action proceeds from the Supreme Lord. That action is not merely to be done as an offering to the Lord, but you have to see yourself that all action really proceeds from the Lord. When you offer the action to the Lord, there is still a feeling, I am the doer and I am offering to the Lord. Even that is ignorance. In the fullness of knowledge, in the integrality of knowledge, you know that all action proceeds from Him, and that you are only an instrument. Nimitta matram bhava, this is the highest element of karma yoga which gets manifested here. And in that state, you do not have even to have the pride or egoism that I am the instrument. Even that is to be thrown out, because Sri Krishna says, even if you are not here, rite pitvam, even without you this battle will take place, or whatever is to be done, destruction will take place. You have only a privilege of becoming an instrument, not that now without me things will not happen, that even God has to choose me to be the instrument, not at all. Even that pride has to go, that egoism is to go. It is Lord's action, and if you are having still the egoism of being an instrument, then you will be still blinded. It's not the culmination of karma yoga. Culmination of karma yoga is that you are not doer at all. Even the instrument is made by Him. Even the instrument is given a chance to act because of Him. It is He who knows the target. It is He who has the arrow with Him. It is He who shoots the arrow and accomplishes His task. The only privilege is that you become a bow. and which if you are not ready, he can have any other bows. So, this is the culmination of karma yoga which is manifested in the 11th chapter.